Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this episode, I want to give you an update on what's going on in Turkey. If you follow the channel, you'll know that we've been following the economics of Turkey quite closely. But in today's episode, I want to look at what's going on with regards to the economy, but also the wider political environment, because Turkey is starting to play a really key role in the relationship between Russia and the West. Turkey has managed to stay entirely neutral throughout the whole Ukraine war. They've had a relationship with Russia for a long period of time, and they're also a member of NATO. So that puts them on two sides of the fence, which is quite unusual in these sort of circumstances, because the West has all gathered together and applied sanctions directly against Russia to try to get them to stop the war. However, Turkey, despite being part of NATO, has not joined in any of those sanctions. And recently, President Erdogan had a meeting with President Putin where they came out and declared that they wanted to increase their cooperation. So it's a really unusual set of circumstances we've got right now that Turkey are playing both sides of the fence. And that's starting to increase the political tension. So in today's episode, I'll give you an update on what's going on with inflation and interest rates. We'll have a look at what's gone on with the Turkish lira and where we are with regards to the reserves. But I also want to talk about the increases in military and political tension that Turkey are involved with. So I'll give you an update on what's going on with regards to Greece and the Aegean Islands, because that tension is starting to increase and there is a real possibility that we could see some military conflict at some point in the near future. And that links into the relationship with Russia. There are some theories right now that what's going on with Greece could be related to the NATO and Russian relationship, so I'll have a talk about that. And then I'll give you an update on the latest with regards to NATO's viewpoint on the Turkish-Russian relations. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen in Turkey over the next 3 to 6 months, and what the impact of that will be on firstly the Turkish economy, secondly the global economy, and then also the political environment surrounding the Russian-Ukraine war. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, and also please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters so you can skip through things if you don't have time to watch the entire video. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Inflation in Turkey has now risen above 80% for the first time in 24 years. The last time that inflation was at this sort of level in Turkey was August 1998. So that was last century. And this table shows that Turkey has the highest rate of inflation out of any country in the G20. And the G20 are the largest 20 economies in the world. So you can see that the only other country that's anywhere near the level that Turkey is at right now is Argentina, which has been in economic crisis for a long period of time. The next highest is Russia, which obviously is in a war situation right now. And then we have the Netherlands, Spain, United Kingdom, Brazil, and the United States. But if you look at the actual rate in Turkey at 80%, this is off the scale. And this is not just a short-term thing. Turkey has been at these sort of levels for months and months and months. And when inflation is running at these sort of levels for a long period of time, it has a really damaging impact on the economy. And just as an interesting comparison, I thought it was worth having a look at where Turkey ranks in the whole world. And this table shows that Turkey now has the sixth highest rate of inflation out of any country in the world. Number one is Zimbabwe, which collapsed around 20 years ago and has never really recovered. Lebanon, Sudan, Syria are all war-torn countries, so their economies have been decimated by the wars that have been going on there for long periods of time. And Venezuela's economy has been destroyed by the sanctions that have been applied against it by the Western world. And I wanted to show this table because it really puts what's going on in Turkey into perspective. Turkey is one of the 20 largest economies in the world, but the rate of inflation is currently higher than it is in Sri Lanka. And if you've been following the channel, you'll know that I've been covering Sri Lanka in some detail. The economy collapsed there a number of months ago, so it's in complete economic crisis. It's higher than it is in Iran, which has been facing severe sanctions for a long period of time. Ethiopia, Cuba, and Pakistan, just to pick out a small number of countries who are in complete turmoil. So this really puts into perspective how serious the situation is in Turkey right now. This chart shows the movement in the inflation rate in Turkey over the last 12 months, and you can see that since the start of 2022, there has been a significant increase in inflation, and it has remained at high levels throughout the period of the Ukraine war. And Turkey is a net importer. It has to import large volumes of fuel and food. And as you know, if you follow the channel, the price of all of those items has risen dramatically over the last 6 months or so. And that's really been painful for Turkey. This table shows the movement in the price of food over the last 12 months. And I wanted to show this because the cost of food is obviously indiscriminate. Everybody has to buy food, and it disproportionately affects the poorer members of society because they're spending a high percentage of their monthly budget on food. Lower income households will spend anywhere between 50 and 100% of their monthly budget on food. So massive movements in food prices are obviously a major problem for the poorer members of society. And you can see that the current rate of inflation for food is sitting at above 90%. So food prices are still running ahead of the overall rate of inflation, which is coming in around 80%. And to put this into perspective, a 90% increase in inflation means that food prices have almost doubled compared to what they were this time last year. So that means that in order to buy the same amount of food, the poorest Turkish citizens need to have seen a 90% increase in their income over the same period. Now, that simply hasn't been happening. So what we've got here is a situation where the poorest members of society will have to make a decision as to what they spend their income on. And it's likely that they won't be able to keep affording the same amount of food, and therefore they will buy less food, eat less food. And that's when you get real disharmony in a society, when people are struggling to put food onto the table. Now, one minor positive that's coming through from this chart is that the annual rate of food price increases has actually reduced slightly in August. However, I'll come on later in the video to talk about the reliability of this data. This chart shows the movement in transportation costs over the last 12 months. And just as a point of reference, these figures are shown as an index. These aren't percentages. And what this chart shows is that transportation costs have increased around 120% over the last 12 months. And I wanted to highlight this because, again, transportation is an absolute essential for all members of society. If you go to work, then you will generally need to pay some form of transportation costs, whether that be filling your own vehicle with fuel or taking public transport. So this is coming out of everybody's budget. And once again, the poorest members of society pay a higher percentage of their monthly income on transportation costs. They need to pay to get to work, to earn the money, to buy the food. That's basically how it works. And once again, we're seeing a fundamental cost to society increasing significantly ahead of the rate of inflation. 120% is around 50% higher than the overall rate of inflation of 80% for August. So this means that the poorer members of society are now paying a higher percentage of their monthly income on transportation costs. That's going to reduce their disposable income. That's going to mean they've got less cash available to buy food and other essentials. And once again, this starts to cause problems in society because people become unhappy if they can't afford to buy and do things. This chart shows the movement in interest rates over the last 5 years in Turkey. And I wanted to highlight it because if you follow the channel, you'll know that on the 18th of August, Turkey reduced its official lending rate by 1% to 13%. And this was at a time when inflation was running close to 80%. And as you'll know, if you follow economic theory, when you have high levels of inflation, the usual response to that from a central bank is to increase interest rates. Because increasing interest rates increases the cost of borrowing, so it discourages people from taking on new loans, and it generally will increase the cost of borrowing for a lot of people in society. If you don't have a fixed rate on your loan, then an increase in interest rates means that the price of that loan goes up. Therefore, you have less disposable income because you're paying more of your money in interest costs. If you've got less disposable income, then generally you will spend less, and that brings down demand, and therefore it should bring prices back down. That's the general theory on how you cope with high inflation. Increase interest rates until prices start to come back down. Turkey decided back in the autumn of 2021 that they wanted to abandon that theory and go for the opposite approach. So what you can see on this chart is that from 2021 onwards, there was a reduction in interest rates from a high of 19% down to around 14%. And if we jump back to the chart that shows the monthly movement in inflation rates, you can see that at the time when interest rates were 19%, inflation was running at around 20%. As soon as Turkey started lowering their interest rates, inflation took off and it shot up to what we've got now, which is over 80%. So the economic experiment to reduce interest rates at a time of high inflation clearly has not worked. Reducing the interest rates caused a massive increase in inflation. It's gone up by around 4 times since interest rates started being reduced in Turkey. So the decision to reduce interest rates on the 18th of August, at a time when inflation was running at around 80%, did seem absolutely crazy. And what we've seen in the month of August is that inflation has increased further. Now, it hasn't increased proportionately. You would have expected a much bigger jump in August. And I'll come on to that in a minute. There are now some commentators who are asking some serious questions as to whether or not the data that's being released is 100% accurate. So while we're talking about the movement in interest rates, I thought it was worth comparing what's going on in Turkey to what's happened in a lot of other emerging countries. And this chart shows the countries that have been increasing their interest rates and the countries that have been decreasing their interest rates over the last 3 years. Now, the period prior to January 2021 was affected by COVID. So if we leave that to one side and just look at what's happened since January 21, you can see from this graphic that the only countries that have reduced their interest rate during that period are Turkey and Russia. However, the situation in Russia is quite different to what's going on in Turkey, because you can see that in March, Russia increased its interest rates from 9.5% to 20%, and this was done as an emergency wartime measure. The central bank hiked rates in order to protect the value of the Russian ruble and also to encourage Russians to keep their savings in Russian institutions. Now, that increase of over 10.5% has subsequently started to be reduced, and that's why Russia have been reducing their interest rates. It's to counterbalance the massive increase that was brought in March. And the rate in Russia is now 8.5%, which is actually lower than it was before the start of the war. So the reduction in interest rates that we've seen in Russia are really just a correction of what was done back in March. So what this chart shows us is that Turkey is the only country in the world that is currently reducing its interest rates. We have got really high rates of inflation all across the world right now. Most countries are sitting at levels that they haven't seen for 10 or 20 years. And that's causing major concern, particularly at a time when commodity and fuel and food prices are really high as a result of the Ukraine war. So most central banks are following traditional theory of increasing interest rates. Turkey is the only outlier here, and I wanted to show this graph really to give you some perspective as to what's going on in Turkey compared with everybody else in the world. This graph shows the movement in the Turkish lira against the US dollar over the last 12 months. And what this shows is that there has been a massive devaluation of the lira. This time last year, the Turkish lira was trading at around 8.3 to $1. It's now above 18 lira to $1. And the problem that that movement has for Turkey is that because it's a net importer, it means that the cost of all of those imports has more than doubled over the last 12 months. And this is causing major problems for the citizens of Turkey because the cost of imported fuel and food has risen dramatically. And this excludes any of the impact of the Ukraine war. If you then add on top the fact that we saw an increase of around 50% in fuel and food prices that was driven directly by the Ukraine crisis, then it's adding further problems for Turkey because their currency was falling in value at a time when the market price of all of those items was increasing as well. So this is really double bubble for Turkey and one of the reasons why the economy is in such a dire situation. And the problems with the lira are ongoing. So we saw a reduction of around 44% in 2021 in the value of the lira. But in 2022, the value has continued to fall and is down by more than 25% since the start of the year. And the reduction in interest rates that was introduced recently will not help the situation because what we're seeing in Turkey is people are losing confidence in the lira. When you have a currency that devalues on a regular basis, it means that your citizens then look to other currencies because they have more confidence in those currencies maintaining their value. So in Turkey right now, we've got a high level of dollarization. So that means that the people of Turkey prefer to use US dollars and euros rather than Turkish lira. Now, the Turkish authorities have been trying to address that. They brought in lots of schemes to encourage people to put money in the bank and keep it in lira. However, despite this, there has still been a massive move away from the lira towards other currencies. And that's a problem for Turkey because it's very difficult to get that confidence back up again. This table shows the Turkish Central Bank currency reserves as at the end of August. And you can see that the reserve level is sitting at around $12.6 billion, which represents a significant improvement on the situation at the start of July when the reserves fell to around $6 billion. However, $12 billion is still a very low level for Turkey. Historically, Turkey has used its currency reserves to support the lira in the international market. So as the value is falling, they would buy lira to support the value. However, because the reserves are now so low, they've been unable to do that. And the main reason for that is that these reserves are being used to purchase oil and gas in the international markets. Turkey's a net importer of energy products. Most of those energy product deals are denominated in dollars, and therefore Turkey needs to find dollars to pay for those contracts. Now, the reason that the reserves are increasing at the moment is that we're in the summer period in Turkey, and tourism brings in a lot of foreign currency, so that's why we're seeing a healthy increase. But the tourist season starts winding down towards the end of August, so it will be interesting to see how the reserves fare over the next few months, because that currency inflow will stop and the pressure will start building again on the Turkish Central Bank. Now, one thing I wanted to talk about was the reliability of the data that's coming out of Turkey. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that we've been talking about this topic with regards to Russia. There are some big questions right now as to whether or not the data that's coming out from Russia is 100% reliable. We saw a study from Yale Management that was questioning whether or not the statistics are true or whether they've been manipulated to show Russia in a better light than what's actually going on. And there are now questions being raised with regards to the data that's coming out of Turkey. We've seen inflation rise rapidly over the last 6 months or so, and market commentators were expecting the recent reduction in interest rates to further fuel that increase. Now, we have seen an increase in August, but it hasn't been as dramatic as everybody expected. And a lot of commentators are now concerned that the data that we're seeing might not be showing all of the true value. Opposition lawmakers and economists have questioned the reliability of Turkey's figures, and opinion polls show that 50% of Turks believe inflation is far higher than official data. The official Turkish data showed that month-on-month consumer prices rose 1.4% in August. However, independent data showed that retail prices in Istanbul leapt 99% in August, which led to Tim Ash of Blue Bay Asset Management stating, "I no longer believe the official data. It looks like fantasy, wishful thinking. How can you conduct economic policy when the basic economic data cannot be trusted?" Now, as I mentioned at the start of the video, there's been some interesting developments with regards to military and political tension between Turkey and Greece over the last few months. And the relationship between Turkey and Greece has been strained for a long period of time. After World War I, there was a war between two countries, and a number of treaties were signed which gave ownership of the islands in the Aegean Sea, which sits between Greece and Turkey, to each of the countries. Now, this graphic shows the location of both countries, and a lot of the debate relates around the ownership of the islands in the Aegean Sea. Now, Greece was given the majority of these islands, despite the fact that many of them are located closer to mainland Turkey than they are to mainland Greece. Now, as part of the treaties that were signed, Greece have an obligation not to militarize any of these islands, so they can't start putting lots of troops onto the islands, because that would raise security concerns in Turkey. And there are also strict limitations as to what aircraft can be flown in the airspace around these islands. Now, one of the reasons that President Erdogan is becoming so agitated about the current situation is that he's claiming that Greek jets have violated Turkish airspace on more than 1,000 occasions since the start of 2022. The Turkish National Defense Ministry have stated that Greece have violated Turkey's airspace and territorial waters 1,123 times in the first 8 months of 2022. And this follows on from 1,616 violations that are claimed happened in 2021. In addition to these violations, Turkey also claimed that Greek armed forces harassed Turkish jets by putting radar locks on them for 3,372 seconds in 14 separate incidents since the 15th of August 2022. And it specifically stated that Greek S-300 air defence systems locked onto Turkish jets on the 23rd of August on a mission in international airspace, which Turkey have described as a hostile act according to the NATO rules of engagement. Now, this last issue is really interesting because Greek has Russian-made S-300 missile systems. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that Turkey recently bought some S-400 missile systems directly from Russia. And as a direct result of that purchase, Donald Trump's administration in the USA applied military sanctions against Turkey. They were ejected from the F-35 build scheme and they were prevented from buying any F-16 military jets. So Turkey has been very unhappy about that situation. And one of the issues that's causing additional tension here is that Greece has similar missile systems which were purchased from Russia. However, because these missile systems were purchased by Cyprus rather than Greece directly, Greece are claiming that this doesn't violate any of the NATO rules. They haven't been subject to any sanctions. But clearly from Turkey's point of view, it's a cause of irritation that Greece have these same missile systems, but they haven't faced any sort of action at all from the US or the rest of NATO. Now, as a result of the ongoing tension, President Erdogan has now come out and issued a direct warning to Greece. At a recent rally in the Black Sea city of Samsun, he stated that Greece would pay a heavy price if it continues to harass Turkish fighter jets over the Aegean and hinted at military action. He was quoted as saying, "Hey Greece, take a look at history. If you go further, you will pay a heavy price." In his speech, President Erdogan accused Greece of attempting to threaten us with S-300s. He also accused Greece of occupying islands in the Aegean Sea that have a demilitarized status. "We only have one word to tell Greece, do not forget Izmir," he stated, referring to the end of Greek occupation after Turkish forces entered the city on the Aegean coast in 1922. "Your occupation of the islands does not bind us," he said after recent accusations that Athens has been arming some of the demilitarized islands. This all follows on from statements made by the Turkish foreign minister in June that said that Turkey would challenge Greece's sovereignty over the islands if it continued to send troops to them. In response to these statements, Greece's prime minister has said that Turkey's position of questioning Greece's sovereignty over the islands is absurd. And the foreign minister went on to state, "We will inform our allies and partners of the content of the provocative statements made by Turkey to make it clear who is setting dynamite to the cohesion of our alliance during a dangerous period." So things are starting to hot up in the Aegean Sea, and it's interesting that there is an election in both Turkey and Greece in 2022. President Erdogan is facing his first election in 5 years in June next year, and there will be a full general election in Greece in July 2023. So clearly the current authorities are wanting to show their people that they're prepared to stand and fight and protect their sovereignty. And so there's a lot of political tension that's starting to rise. And of course, this has come at a bad time globally because of what's going on in Ukraine. We've already got a lot of tension. So the last thing we need is the potential for any further military conflict right now. As I mentioned at the start of the video, President Erdogan and President Putin had a recent meeting where they came out and stated that they wanted to increase the cooperation between Turkey and Russia on an ongoing basis. So Turkey are cozying up to Russia at a time when the rest of NATO and the Western world are applying heavy sanctions. We're seeing a lot of European countries suffering right now because they're having the gas supplies switched off, they're having to find alternative ways to buy oil, the price of everything is increasing. And Turkey are trying to capitalize on this situation and to try to make a profit by acting as a middleman and selling on goods to Russia that it can no longer source directly from the West. Now, it's very unlikely that NATO will let this situation go on for the long term. Turkey is a member of NATO, and at some point it will be pulled back into line. And the foreign minister of France has now visited Turkey to emphasize the importance of its firms not circumventing the Western sanctions on Russia after the United States said that Turkish businesses face the risk of sanctions. And this visit follows on from a letter that was sent to the Turkish authorities by the US Treasury Deputy Secretary, warning of the possible risk of sanctions if companies establish relations with sanctioned Russian entities and individuals. So what we're seeing here is the EU and the USA are starting to pull Turkey into line. This has been done on a softly approach right now because clearly Turkey are being a useful negotiator. They brought Russia to the table for situations such as the release of the Ukraine grain that was being held up at the ports. So Turkey can act as a really interesting conduit in terms of negotiations. But what everybody doesn't want is for Turkey to step in and fill the gap that's been left in world economy and enable Russia to access all of the technology and goods that it's currently unable to access directly from the West. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, hopefully if you've been following the channel, you'll know that we've been covering Turkey in some detail. So I wanted to provide you with the latest data. And what we're seeing is inflation is continuing to rise, but it hasn't risen quite as sharply as you would have expected, given the fact that interest rates were reduced in August. Now, there are a number of potential reasons to explain that. Firstly, inflation has now got to the stage where it's out of control. So a reduction in the interest rates now may not have such a big impact because at 80%, you've got runaway inflation. Prices are off the scale. There's also the question of dollarization. If the citizens of Turkey are using dollars and euros predominantly rather than using Turkish lira, then we've essentially got a black market economy. People are using foreign currency rather than their own. So that means that a lot of the data and statistics won't be fed through into the official numbers. So the 80% movement in August may well exclude a lot of actual trade that's been done on the streets of Turkey. And of course, the final question is whether or not the data that's being released directly by the Turkish authorities is 100% accurate. And if it isn't, then that obviously throws a big question mark as to what is actually going on in Turkey right now. Is the real rate of inflation actually significantly higher than 80% right now? But the overall summary for Turkey is that the economy is still in crisis, inflation's out of control, the Turkish lira continues to devalue, and the reserves are coming under pressure. We've seen a minor boost to reserves because of the summer tourist period, but that won't last forever. And the price of oil and food and all the other goods that Turkey is importing are still very high. So the central bank is under immense pressure with regards to those reserves. So it's likely that over the next 3 to 6 months, we'll see inflation staying very high. It's likely we'll see the lira falling further, and it's likely that the reserves will run out. Turkey still needs a big influx of cash. It's cozying up to Russia, and it may be that it can do a deal with Russia to take some gas and oil and other commodities on some sort of credit basis where it doesn't actually have to pay in cash. And we know that Turkey and Russia are talking about doing deals in rubles and lira rather than dollars, which would release a little bit of pressure on foreign currency. But the problem with all of those arrangements is that it means that Turkey is getting closer to Russia. It's building up debt with Russia. And that's the problem that we've got in Europe right now. Russia had a very strong position. It had a lot of leverage over countries like Germany and Italy because they were dependent on Russian gas. So if Turkey now becomes dependent on Russian credit, taking free oil and all the other things, then that will expose potential security risks because Turkey then will no longer be independent. And this is going to be a big problem for NATO because Turkey's a member of NATO and it's the only member at the moment that isn't partaking in the sanctions. It's ignoring what the rest of NATO are doing and it's carrying on doing business with Russia. Now that situation can't continue forever and there will come a point where NATO starts to rein in Turkey. We're already starting to see it with the French visit and the letter that's come from the US authorities, but it's likely that as we go through the rest of this year that pressure will increase on Turkey to step back from its Russian relationship and that would leave Turkey even more exposed because at the moment Russia is the only friendly nation that's offering credit and other support to Turkey. So if it loses that relationship, then the Turkish economy is going to be in even more jeopardy and could potentially collapse at some point in the next 6 months. So this is a really delicate balancing act that President Erdogan has right now. And it's interesting the situation with Greece and the political and military tension that's starting to rise because Erdogan has an election next year. He needs to win power to make sure that he's still running Turkey. He's been in control for over 18 years. He does not want to give up control to anybody else. And as we've seen time and time again in history, one of the ways to raise support when you've got an election coming up is to start some form of military conflict. And because we've got a very similar situation in Greece, where we've got an election coming up next year, there is a very real possibility that we could see some actual military conflict between Turkey and Greece in the Aegean Sea over the next 6 months or so. And if that happens, then that is going to be really bad news for both of those countries, their economies, and the global economy as a whole, because we've seen what the impact of the Ukraine war has been on the global economy. If we were to have another war now, then it could be really disastrous for the whole globe. We're already sitting on the verge of a global recession. And if we were to get another war cropping up and then have more potential issues with regards to Russia supporting Turkey, providing more arms, all of those sort of issues, this could really unfold into being an absolute can of worms. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when they happen. Hopefully you found today's episode useful, informative and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.